Lord God, thank you for your presence. Thank you for the forgiveness of sin. Lord, so often we ourselves feel so unworthy and so full of the wrong stuff, Lord, that we just pray that you would come and clean us up. I know that that's why Israel has a Day of Atonement every year, because of sin and God's righteousness and forgiveness. So we ask you to open the Word to us, and by the time we get through, Lord, I pray that you would, by your Spirit, work in each heart so we all know you better and are in the right relationship. We just give our hearts to you that you would search us, cleanse us, and glorify your name in our midst. In Yeshua's name, amen. You know, I don't know how many of you would have been old enough during the time of Watergate to remember all the happening. How many here remember Watergate and were old enough to understand what was going on? There are a number of you. But I remember when that was in the news, and there was such a dark cloud over our country. I felt so bad for our country. And I remember watching the news on television, and the reporters were questioning President Nixon before this crowd of people. And he says, "I'm no crook," he says. I don't want to point a finger at people, but I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what position you're in, even if you're president of the United States or you're the head of the Russian government, we belong to a fallen race, all of us. And we're all capable of sin, and we're all capable of walking with the Lord for some time and things look good and we have a bad fall and things look very bad. I was talking to John Bonar long distance, and it's interesting how this trip overseas went all haywire, and his wife took the wrong she took the wrong papers, and he had his son's passport, and his was left at home, and his wife got his luggage, and he got hers. And I said, "I wonder what John would look like in a lady's slip." I think he never thought that. But his daughter, he talked to his daughter long distance, and she's in California, Abigail. And she said, "You know, Dad, there are some things that are tragedy. Like if you heard that your mate had cancer, and she only had a few days to live, that would be a tragedy. Or if somebody you love got killed in an accident, that would be a tragedy. But this is only an occurrence. And you can be through this in a certain time, and you can be comforted. But by a tragedy, you don't get comforted overnight. So just thank God this isn't a tragedy." So we go through these things in life, and some of them are just occurrences that we can revive from. And some of them are tragedies that leave a lifelong scar inside of us. It's very hard when these tragedies happen to say to a person who's gone through them, don't let it bother you, isn't it? When you see these deep, deep tragedies, it's hard at times to know how to comfort a person. But the Lord, who is, when we say this prayer every week, that He's Melech Ha'olam. He's the King, not just of the earth. We're one tiny part of the universe. If you've ever seen all these pictures of these galaxies and things occurring in outer space, we're just a tiny dot. But the Lord is not just the King of the world. He's the King of the universe. So no matter what's going on, He has control. The Lord has control. And we can remember that. When we see what's happening in our own city and state and country, we can say, well, those people who are the elected officials, they are not the kings of the universe. They're a leader in one particular part. And leaders come and leaders go. Even in Psalms, it tells us that the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against Adonai, and against His Messiah. The Hebrew word is Mashiach, against His anointed one. And here's what they say. Let us break their bonds asunder. These are chains. And let us cast away their cords from us. Get rid of all this religious stuff about God watching over you and He's going to judge and all of that. That's just a fairy tale, they'll tell you. And it says, He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. It's a laugh of scorn and derision. The Lord shall have them in derision. He will take these guys who think He's not important, and He will confuse them to the nth degree. And He says to the world, yet have I set my King upon Zion, the hill of my holiness. And the Messiah speaks, the King speaks. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me, and I will give you the goyim, the nations, for your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. So when you get these powerful men in government making all these assertions, just think who's over them, even though they don't recognize Him. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision, in confusion. And He speaks to them in His wrath, and vex them in His sore displeasure. I've set my King upon Zion, Yeshua, the hill of my holiness. And the King says, I will declare the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. This is in Psalms. This isn't in the New Testament. You are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me and I'll give you the nations, the Gentiles, the world, for your inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. And then the Messiah says, be wise now, therefore, O you kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth, you who make such bold proclamations. Be instructed. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. Kiss the Messiah. Do homage to him, lest he be angry with you and dash you into pieces. The Lord's warning the leaders of the world and us individually, don't make mockery of this whole thing about your relationship to God and what we're supposed to be before Him. Because these examples here that we're studying today are words of God. Look, you belong to a fallen race. We all do. You could have this thing about a fallen race, pride, arrogance. You know who I am? Yeah, you're a man whose breath is in his nostrils. You could be dead tomorrow. I know who you are, and when you stand before me and I tell you what I think of you, you can't say, you've got it all wrong. He never has it wrong. He knows what's inside of us. He knows every part of us. He knows what was done right and what was done wrongly. And he's going to say, now I am the one to determine where you spend eternity. So, in the end, we only have one judge. It's the Lord Himself. I remember when I was going through a breakdown, and things got so bad I wanted to kill myself. I was racing through 11 Mile Road at rush hour and a cop pulled me over and gave me a ticket. He says, you're going to have to stand before the court in Berkeley. And boy, I didn't have much money. Because of my mental illness, we had lost a lot. And I said, what am I going to do now? And the Lord said, take the papers from the hospital. It shows what condition you were in. And when you go to court, I was to go to court before Christmas. Tell them what happened to you and why you were racing. And I will give you the words to say, and you depend on me. I didn't have a lawyer, couldn't afford one. So I was the first one called in court, and the judge says, so where's your lawyer? I said, I'm going to defend myself, Your Honor. He said, oh, that's strange, but okay. So I was the last one called. I had to wait for all those others. And so he called me, and the cop got up that gave me the ticket and told how I was racing. And so he says, what do you have to say for yourself? So I had these papers from the hospital that showed what I had been through. And I gave them to the judge to read. And he said, wow. I saw him shake his head. He gave it to the city attorney who was sitting right next to me. He was a Jewish man, the city attorney. And He looked at the papers and he goes like this to him. I just smiled at him. So the judge says, "What do you have to say for yourself?" I said, "Judge, Your Honor, I was racing through Berkeley because I was so bad off mentally, I wanted to kill myself. But I said, I told him about my breakdown and all I had been through, 7 years of it. I said, but in the meantime, after I got this ticket, Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, touched me and healed me. And I'm not the same person. I'm not the same person I was when I got this ticket. I said, He has transformed my life. He said, I never heard anything like this in all my life. He said, but I tend to believe you. But if you're ever caught speeding in Berkeley again, you've had it. But he says, I'm going to cancel every penalty against you. You don't owe anything. And I'm going to free you. And when everybody else had gone out of the courtroom, he said to me, now come up to me and tell me more about Jesus. Can you imagine that? It just, everything turned around because God told me what to do. Well, here you have, we have the story of Uzziyahu, Uzziah. Isaiah prophesied in the time of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. And Uzziah's father, Amaziah, in Hebrew, Amatyahu. Just thank God for translations, right? And his father started out as a godly man. He was 25 years old when he became king of Judah, and he reigned 29 years. And God gave him great success. But then what did he do when he conquered this group, the Edomites? He took their idols and took them home and worshiped these heathen idols. And God's anger turned against him. And what happened was some men in Jerusalem started a conspiracy against him. And he fled to a Hebrew city called Lachish. And they trailed him there and they killed him in that city. So here his son, who was only in his teens, he was crowned King. Uzziah was crowned king of Judah when he was in his teens. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 52 years. His mother's name was Jechaliah. She was from Jerusalem. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Amaziah had done. His father started to do well and then stumbled and fell terribly, and it meant his life. He sought God during the days of Zechariah. This isn't the prophet Zechariah. This is someone who was Zechariah before the prophet Zechariah came. He sought God during the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. I want us all to remember that. That going down to the altar once and saying, I believe, is not the same as seeking God all your life. That any of us can start out well the way these guys did and take a bad fall or let other things come in that we think are more important than God and living for Him and living righteously. All of us are capable of falling and sinning. We've got to know who we are. We're not that tough. And we need God every moment of our lives. And so God gave him success. He went against all these powers around him. And he conquered them. And the Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah, and his fame spread as far as the border of Egypt because he had become very powerful. That's amazing. He had this well-trained army. And in those days, this was a lot of men. We see them bigger than this now. But he had an army of 307,500 men trained for war. Expert soldiers, expert fighting men. And he had great leaders. But it says, after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Now, God had appointed certain people to do these callings, burning incense or being priests or high priests. And he says, you know, I'm the king. I can do anything I want. I'm sorry, Uzziah. There's a king higher than you. He's there, the Father, and you can't do anything you want. Just because you're king. Do you know who I am? Gracie was a teacher at Southfield Christian School for 20 years. And she had to be out of school one day, and she had a substitute teacher there. And the pastor of this big congregation that sort of ruled this school, his son was in this class, and he got up before the class was over, and the teacher says, hey, wait a minute, where are you going? He says, I'm going down to my father's office. She says, no, you're not, you're going to sit down. He says, do you know who I am? This kid says to his teacher, do you know who I am? He was saying, I'm the pastor's son. She says, listen, I know who you are, and you're no different from anybody else. Go sit down. Well, that's the way we are. I mean, you can say to God, you know, I have this position in such and such a thing, or I'm this important person. And the Lord says, listen, you're just like anybody else. You're part of a fallen race, and you need me every moment of every day, and one day you will stand before me and give an account of what your life has meant. You're no different from anybody else. You need deliverance just like the rest of mankind. And that was true of all of us. When I was going through my breakdown, this woman, I had been a believer, and this woman who had pointed me to the Lord said, she's with the Lord now. Honey, she says over the phone, this may be dark for you, this tunnel you're going through, but someday you're going to see the light at the other end of the tunnel, and it's going to be lighter than anything you've ever seen. I'll tell you, when God leads you out of your quandary, out of your dark place, it can be lighter than anything you've ever seen, no matter how dark it looks now. But it's up to us whether we yield to the Lord and whether we take a humble attitude or we're arrogant and we insist on feeding our pride and saying to the Lord, do you know who I am? Yeah, I know who you are. You're part of a fallen race and you need me. You need deliverance. And so Uzziah is questioned by these priests for doing something, burning this incense. It was not his responsibility. And he had a censer in his hand ready to burn, and he became angry. And while he was raging at the priests in their presence before the incense altar, the Lord smote him. And on his forehead, leprosy broke out. And in those days, leprosy was incurable. And they had to actually go through a procedure where they were actually quarantined. They had to be set off in a place where other people couldn't get to them and get leprosy to catch it. And he was put in quarantine the rest of his life. And his son took his place. You know, that was as bad for Israel or worse than Watergate was for the United States. And so that's when God called Isaiah. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. You know, when things get that bad, when everything looks bleak, that's the time we need to see one person, the Lord. Yeshua came that we might have deliverance from the darkest things we can think of in our life. When I came to the Lord, my father was dying of lung cancer. He smoked 3.5 packs a day. And he was in excruciating pain. And that's the time I began searching the scriptures and comparing Tanakh, the Old Testament, with the prophecies fulfilled in the New. And I saw that Yeshua was the Messiah. And this verse came to me from Matthew. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is a true Shabbat rest, Sabbath rest. It's not a day. It's a condition of your heart brought about by the Holy Spirit coming into you and giving you the peace of God that transcends all human understanding. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. You know what that's saying? That's the way the Jews said. The Jewish leader, the rabbi, the teacher would say, I want to become your rabbi. And Yeshua told us, we have one rabbi. It's Yeshua. He's our teacher. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. These burdens of the world are so strong, they can mess you up and take you to your grave. But come to Yeshua. He will give you rest inside, inner rest. That's something that a medication or a psychiatrist or a team of psychiatrists can't give you. The rest that Yeshua can give you. King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died. He lived in a separate house, leprous and excluded from the temple of the Lord. Jotham, his son, had charge of the palace and governed the people of the land. But you know, none of us has to come to the place where we're set aside and the only thing we face the rest of our lives is quarantine and a dark eternity. Because Yeshua gives us forgiveness of sin, He cleanses us as nothing else can, and He gives us what the rabbis and the Jewish people call Chayei Olam, eternal life. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. That's what He says to those who follow Him. Do not allow your hearts to be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. Believe in God. Believe also in me. So He says, come to me and I will deliver you. My name is Yeshua, salvation. My name is deliverance. There's deliverance in me. God sent Him to us for deliverance. We need not walk in darkness. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your goodness to us. We thank You that You can turn the darkest situation into deliverance and light. Your name is Yeshua, salvation, deliverance. And we give our lives to You afresh, Lord. I pray that no one here would continue to walk in darkness when he or she can have light. We thank You for this time together, and we pray that You would glorify Yourself in each life here and each family. Lord God, as we go to eat together, we pray that You would bless us and enable us to be a blessing to one another, and use each one here as a servant of Yours to glorify You in this life. In Yeshua's mighty name, amen.